Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
Welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind reread podcast. Brought to you by me, Tim Lanning, and my wife, Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Here we are. We're covering chapters 13 and 14. Such doozies.
We're getting close to the end of this book, which is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
We're like, it's gone so fast.
It's because it's just it's just such a good book.
It's such a page-turner.
It's such a page-turner.
Only five chapters left.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, only five. And then it's going to be freaking time for, I forget which one's next. Hold on.
Nikolai.
Is it Nikolai next? Oh, hell yeah. I'm looking at, yep, that's the next one. Nikolai and then Soul Harvest.
Yes, 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 yes. These are the type of chapters, Jennifer, that cause me to say that I'm not reading these ironically.
Okay.
It's got everything you want.
I mean, these definitely did make me hoot and holler for sure.
Yeah. They're page turner, they're beach books. Things are happening. Baby.
I mean, people are getting freaking fire blasted from the mouth. Mm-hmm. It's definitely trending up. It's at least interesting.
Yeah, we have new characters in the mix right now showing emotion.
Yes, that's true. We did get a good new character.
The circle is closing. As they even say in the book.
Buck and Chloe aren't being annoying anymore, which is a huge positive.
Buck's trending up.
He's less annoying.
I think they needed to have the literal forces of the devil.
Yes.
Against them
exactly.
For us to finally
okay.
All right, I guess I side with you now.
But I will say some very interesting assumptions about Jewish folks in these chapters. I was definitely eagle-eyed on the way they talked about some of these things, so I'm going to bring that up as we talk about
Do you think they hired sensitivity readers, Jennifer?
Oh, absolutely not. They hired a Jew for Jesus to read this, maybe.
Yeah, whatever is the opposite of a sensitive reader is what they did.
Like, can you make this more stereotypical, actually? You know what? I'm not even going to get into it because we'll get to specifics later.
We're allowed to say this, right?
Yeah, that's good. Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly.
That's good. Just having someone read the book as they stare at you like, you liked it. No thoughts.
And then the eyebrows are going up? Yeah. Nope. Okay.
It is July 15th. We are post GeeklyCon. Post GeeklyCon and post GeeklyCon catch up. So now we're finally able to, you know, resume the old treadmill. It's weird because
our normal schedule.
Yeah, we haven't been on a normal schedule for a while, but we recorded so many back to back that it's felt like, at least on my end, that we haven't released anything.
Yes,
and it was
not true.
Not true. But I was kind of laughing that I just released them all on the Patreon. Like,
yeah,
early.
So they've
had quite the drought, but that's because they had three in a weekend.
Yeah, that's, you know, them's the breaks. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
But actually, if you are a patron of our Patreon, Tim and I were literally just talking right before this, so we're going to put a little poll up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Will this come? Yes, this will come out in time for people to comment on that, right?
Yeah.
We're going to put a little poll up of what fun thing we can do for our patrons next. So we'll have some good options for you.
Yeah. We already have things that we know we would want to do and we know that you would want to do, but we figure why not poll?
Yeah. Help us choose which thing we do first. Yeah. It's not that we're not going to do the other things. It's just what we do first.
Yeah.
you know?
Yep. And we were going to start watching Leftovers the other day, but I was so tired.
It happens, you know? I was telling Tim earlier, I'm like, I feel like I've been feeling very stupid recently. It was very difficult for me to do these notes for some reason. Like, I feel like I'm in an era of absorbing media and having a harder time putting it out right now.
I feel like it took me a week to recover from GeeklyCon. And part of that was like, oh, my brain just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I had like friends over and it's like, okay, that made me tired for 2 days, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is just, I think this is getting older, Tim.
Yeah.
It just takes us longer to recover from pretty normal activities.
I think you're wrong. Chapter 13.
Ooh, spooky number.
Uh-oh. I wish they would skip chapter 13.
Yeah, I agree. They should skip the 13th page, and they should skip chapter 13, because those are devil numbers.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess, is 13, like, really a thing in the Bible? I think it's not. 12 is a thing.
It's a number. It's so many numbers in the Bible.
So many numbers in the Bible. Well, we enter this chapter with Stanton Bailey, who is not amused by the stunt that Buck pulled up eating a cookie on stage.
Which I'm really glad they're like, hey, we just have to sprinkle this in. Yes, Buck got caught.
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to have to backpedal in front of his boss about it.
Yes.
Who was like, I cannot believe you ate a sack lunch.
He kept saying sack lunch. And and Buck's like, who's hungry? And then I love this part. I'm always hungry, Bailey roared. you know what? Me too, brother. I'm always hungry.
Like, it wasn't a lunch. It was a cookie. I don't give a fuck. Don't do that.
You fucking freak.
I thought no one could see me. You fucking freak.
You know everyone could see you, Buck. Is this your kink, Buck?
Probably.
Stan Bailey is pretty hilarious, like, every single time he's in there. And I don't look forward to him dying as an unbeliever. I just feel like that's probably going to happen. I don't know. I'm worried about it. He's too cool to turn Christian.
Yes.
So, that's what I'm just
Well, yeah,
saying.
Everyone either dies or becomes a bad guy or a Christian.
Yeah, these are the only options.
Usually two of those things, for sure.
So I guess he's going to become a bad guy or guy.
Shout out to the neutral people that die, but...
So the... Again, you guys have heard me complain about this a million times. The little back and forth in the chapter are just so annoying. That's literally all that happened in that part.
I'm going to push back on this time because it's clearly the authors having a little cheeky.
But it's annoying for me writing the notes because it's like one thing happened. Change over to Rayford now, which we are doing, actually. So Rayford, meanwhile, is sitting in front of Hattie. And he does not like this sit-up because he's like, kind of feels like Hattie's my boss now.
What the hell?
I don't like that. this wicked slut being in charge of me. Hattie continues to be a fucking boss queen because she says, Rayford, listen, I still like you in spite of how you dumped me, all right? I would never do anything to hurt you. Number one, he didn't actually dump her. I think it's really, really funny that she's like, yeah, you dumped me. Like, what? Just gaslight Rayford to
and
hell.
Later in the chapter, she kind of implied that, like, she just says something of like, oh, did we almost get together?
Right. No, she's always, like, gaslighting
the
him.
The entire time.
Like, going back and forth in ways to make him always be, like, off balance.
And the...
Nikolai's rubbing off on her.
Yeah, she rocks. Rayford literally says, somehow Hattie Durham had the capacity to rattle Rayford more than anyone else did. Which is funny for two reasons, because she is being a monster. And
I support her, queen. I support her wrongs.
I don't think I do.
Hattie's never done anything wrong. Actually, the more that you push back on me, the more I'm going to defend her.
I think my whole thing is like that comes out in this, you know, chunk between Ray and Hattie is it's kind of baffling. Like at the end of it, they sort of land on a way that everything makes sense, aka why the fuck is Rayford here? And why did Hattie send those chocolates and things
like
that?
Right, like, what the fuck was she doing? Right. What was her game?
And she literally says, well, I just do what I'm told. And I do little pranks, I do little jokes.
Oh, yeah.
And she continues to gaslight Rayford about it, and then finally is like, I just do what I told. Which, the implication that the Antichrist, Nikolai Carpathia, has the idea to get Chloe... presence so that they think that there's a stalker in order to have them leave Chicago is is baffling.
It's very stupid because let me tell you right now, I already came up with a better idea to make them leave Chicago. They should do some squirreliness with like making their house be condemned or something. Like, yeah, turns out like this is gonna like sink into the ground now, so you have to leave.
Or I'll just like buy that whole subdivision and turn it into like the Global Community One adoption.
Yeah, exactly. So then it's like, well, we're pushed out of the neighborhood. Yeah. We might as well move now. There are a million different things that you could do other than just sending a little weird, creepy treats.
Rayford, what do you mean? Just because the past three subdivisions you've lived in have been manifest destinied by the global community, you're being crazy right now, Rayford.
Yeah.
But, oh, man. It's this is where it definitely feels a little eye-rolly of how much the main characters are the main characters of this book.
I think it's more eye-rolly in the sense that this is, like, these are the hijinks that Christians can think of. This is like, as far as they can go.
Yeah.
Like,
and since this
no
is like,
imagination.
This is a nothing sort of, I guess you'd say, plot. It's not a nothing plot line because it's, like, it deepens shit.
But it just
like,
doesn't matter anymore.
But basically, Ray's going to do it if God tells him to. So it kind of makes sense that Hattie would try to get Rayford so that she could, like, girl boss him and gaslight
right.
him more.
But, gatekeep him.
But the book doesn't even give our queen that. Basically, again, it's the Antichrist. The
right,
Antichrist
it's not actually
wants
her.
To do,
yeah.
Like, because he goes, like, basically, they go back and forth about all this weird shit, and then either at the end of this chunk or later, he's basically like, well, why me? And it's, well, oh, Nikolai asked me who I would suggest, and I suggested you. So now Nikolai heard Hattie say, Ray, good.
Yeah.
So now he's like a pit bull.
Right.
And he's just locked on.
I gotta have this guy.
It's
well, maybe
goofy.
maybe that's part of the Lord scheme.
That's the other okay. I was thinking about that as I was washing dish, where it must be so red.
Sorry, I'm just Tim washing his dishes, just thinking about
just
the
smiling.
Antichrist, thinking about Left Behind.
Not a negative thought in the world. It must be so nice being a Christian author. Because there's no such thing as plot holes.
No.
A lazy sort of writing, so to speak. It is literally God did it.
Shrug. He did it.
Oh, God's in control. He made the Antichrist do this good, weird thing.
Yeah.
But not the bad. Well, again, we've already said the book will never say, because they're cowards, that everything Nikolai does is what God wants. Just
right.
Like when I was.
They won't take it to that step. Although, hey. I could see them maybe saying it, because every now
True.
And then you'll get one of these guys that'll be like, actually, yeah, God did approve this bad thing happening, because
yeah.
he's in control, and he gets to pick, and it's like, wow, okay,
yeah.
buddy.
And that's why, you know, kind of another story of being a child, I never really understood why there was this, like, anti-Semitic vibe from Christians towards Jewish folks for killing Jesus. I'm like, shouldn't we be thankful for that?
That also was very baffling to me.
Why are we mad at Pontius Pilate?
Right.
Like, I get Judas. He's a traitor.
What? Now that you've said this, Pontius Pilate, watching Righteous Gemstones, one of the characters' children is named Pontius, and I'm like, that's a very strange choice for your child if you're a big mega, you know, mega church Christian.
I think that's the joke.
But actually, you know what? Maybe he's actually correct.
They didn't think about it that hard. They just, I'm sure it's just a joke. It's just a joke. They picked a name out of the Bible.
No, Jesse Gemstone is actually a true Christian,
okay.
and he did it for that reason.
I could definitely see them on Righteous. What do you mean we hate Jews? They killed Jesus. We need that. It's
yeah,
whole business.
Exactly.
You dumbass.
Guys, if you're not watching Righteous Gemstones, you're missing out.
Get
it's
in
so
there.
Good. So there's one other thing that Rayford thinks about Hattie that I just have to point out. Hattie sounded like a parrot. Carpathia had taught her well, if not to understand, at least to believe. They will take any opportunity to be like, and just remember, Hattie is a stupid bitch.
She's a stupid bitch.
She doesn't understand anything. She's just a puppet. She's a parrot.
Like,
when Hattie is constantly owning Rayford.
Yeah.
Hey, Hattie's so dumb. What are you, Rayford?
Do you think the Antichrist
stupid
is
little
stupid?
Worm?
No, the Antichrist is smart. Sure, he has magic, but he doesn't always have to use his magic, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that, like, they throw these little jabs in, I'm like, just delight in your characters for a second.
Yeah, like, leave Hattie alone.
Because it definitely feels like...
Pissing me off.
It's absolutely Rayford that thinks it, but, like, it's not, you know, we've talked about those before. It's sure, it's not, it's a character choice, but it isn't, right? It's the authors who cannot help themselves.
No, exactly.
It's not just a character choice for Ray thinking it, because I think... when you first see the, like, Hattie had the capacity to rattle Rayford, you could take that in, you know, a kind of a broad sense.
Right.
But then hearing this part of, like, she's a dumb bird, like, literally.
He can she rattles him, but don't forget.
Don't respect her for it.
She's fucking stupid.
Yeah. But I guess, I mean, she does say, like, I just do what I'm told. But then again, that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't really fully buy that. Like, this is my headcanon that Hattie's actually smart. So Hattie talks to Rayford a little bit more and, like, kind of drops it, like, oh, yeah, I mean, I already mentioned to Nikolai that you're a Christian. He's like, oh, what? Excuse me? And she's like, yeah, you fucking tell everyone, so it's not a big deal.
It's going to come out. It's like, it's why do you care? He's not like the Antichrist or anything.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, since I can trust you, he's going to steal that plane.
Oh, my God, yeah. So, yes. So Hattie just, like, tells Rayford this, like, yeah, you know how the president – oh, my God. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but Laser the cat is flipping out behind us playing with a little toy mouse. He's losing it. Yeah, Hattie's just like, oh, by the way, you know how you're flying Air Force One to Israel?
On the trial basis, he's just going to do it once.
Just the trial basis. Well, it's actually not going to be Air Force One, because Nikolai's just going to fucking keep this plane. Like, what?
What? He's going to say, thank you for donating it to us, this gift. You're so nice.
I was
kind of lost a little
bit. This whole scheme is really confusing to me.
I think it's confusing.
I mean, it's pretty sick of Nikolai, like, yeah, I got a sick-ass plane now.
I think it's confusing because it's just so one-to-one. It's Nikolai going, well, they would want to give it to me regardless because they want to help out the UN. So I'm going to turn it into good press. You know, the president is so for the global community that in time he will see that it's actually a good thing.
But isn't piss the president off to be like, you just stole my fucking plane.
Yes. And I believe later Nikolai admits that. He's like, yeah, they'll be a little rattled, but they'll get over it.
But also the president has been, like, the number one, like, Nikolai Carpathia, like, fan.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll just be like, actually, I love that.
I mean,
he took my plane.
That's Nikolai's reasoning, but this is, yeah, because it's like a tax loophole, too.
Oh, my God.
Since they are just stealing the plane, they're also stealing the crew. So Ray stays on the plane as the captain, our goddamn tax dollars will be paying for him to fly, you know, Nikolai to Iraq and so forth and so on.
Now that's wild.
That's wild. It's such a strange choice to throw in here and a strange thing that they think they can get away with. But I think that's what makes the book good, is that
loves it.
Nikolai can just do the wildest shit, and the main characters are like, that is so fucking crazy.
Off, King.
And then, you know, everyone else has to be like, all right, fine, fuck it, steal my plan, I don't care, all right.
I like in this part, too, that Hattie's all like, well, I mean, Carpathia's not going to have a problem with you being a Christian, because he's, like, basically a Christian. Rayford's like, excuse me? What are you fucking saying? And Hattie says about him keeping the plane and the president, they'll look like generous heroes, and he's doing that for them. That's Christian, isn't it? Isn't it? When you think about it, isn't it Christian to steal a plane?
Yeah.
And you know what? She is right.
She is right.
It is pretty Christian to be like, I took this gift from
you. It's like, I stole your PlayStation 5, and before you had a chance to be like, dude, what the fuck? Give me that back. I tweet or post on Facebook or whatever, oh my gosh, you're such a good friend. I can't believe so-and-so is such a good friend. They gave me a PlayStation 5. And then, you know, I'm doing a good thing because now people are giving
credit. You're such a good person.
Exactly.
What a gift.
And there's no question about, like, what if I wanted to keep my PlayStation 5 or anything like that.
I mean, like, you know, on the one hand, it's a win-win situation because mm-hmm. I get a PlayStation 5 mm-hmm. and you don't get anything physical, but people think you're cool. So,
Right. It's like, yeah, this isn't their idea, but, like, once I do it, they'll be like, okay, I guess I would have done it. Nikolai rocks.
Yeah, no, Nikolai and Hattie Rock, they're a dream team, power couple, mm-hmm. I support them.
Yeah, definitely.
Meanwhile, Buck is interviewing a Mr. Rabbi Mark Feinberg,
mm-hmm.
and the rabbi's like, I've got to get the report, so he's like talking to him while he waits for the cab, and asking him about how he feels about the whole one world religion thing, and the rabbi, his response is pretty interesting, because he's like, yeah, I do believe God is a person, and I don't agree with all these religions. Right. But if agreeing to this one world religion will allow us to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, then right. then that works for
and
me.
And if all the other religions want to play ball and it comes to my court, who am I to, you know, not saddle up, right? Like, it's very much him not being a believer in this idea. But he's like, well, if they're doing it, we'll do it too, because right. it's going to lead to more peace.
We can tolerate each other.
Exactly. It's a very a grounded take, I would say. I think it's like a smart idea to have a character like this sell it, because we haven't really talked to trustworthy people about yeah. this whole thing. And it's like, there's no way this would work. And before Feinberg gets his piece in, we don't really have anybody that is like agreeing with us. So it feels insane. But even Feinberg is like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work, but
yeah.
I'm going to try, because I don't want to be the one holding it back. And hey, if it leads to any, good things, and obviously I want the temple, so win-win. And when it falls apart, it won't be me who did it.
Right.
Or us who did it.
He may not necessarily think that the religion thing's going to work, but he does think that temple's getting rebuilt.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I think it will be constructed within the year. Which, as a person who works in the architectural engineering construction industry, I don't think so. Well, except for it will, because it's a book. But that just betrays that Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins don't know anything about building shit.
I mean, you haven't worked with the Lord.
I haven't worked. You know what? You did. You got me there. I have not worked with the Lord. And I will say they do mention prefabricated walls yes. earlier, which I think was them being like, okay, well, okay. we understand this is not really realistic. Right. That we can build an entire temple from scratch like right. in 1 year.
Because he said basically that everyone's been giving money for so long to get the temple back up. They already have a ton of money. And they already started building it off-site.
So I'm still cool. I'm side-eyed. I do feel like the mid-90s was like super time for like modular prefab stuff. And maybe I'm just saying that because my parents got a modular house. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there was like a craze of it in that time period.
I have no idea.
so maybe that's why Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins were like, no, they can do it with prefabricated stuff.
Yeah, they bought a minor stake in a prefab temple company.
Yeah.
And like, see, it's a good idea. Yeah. We like it.
That's just my own little nitpicking that I like to do as I read this book. Buck and Rabbi Feinberg also talk a little bit about Cardinal Matthews, who we've been introduced to already.
Right.
He's the one.
He's a fucking chump.
He's a chump, but everyone is like, yeah, he's going to obviously be the new pope and yeah. leader of the one world religion.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Feinberg is all like, oh yeah, Cardinal Matthews, he believes Jesus was Messiah, but I sooner believe Carpathia is the Messiah. Like,
uh-oh.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh.
Patty being like, he's a Christian. He's and then Messiah. Feinberg being like, he's the Messiah. Like, yep, oh no.
Yeah. And then him also being like, oh, well, of course Cardinal Matthews is a Christian. What do you mean? Of course. What are you talking about? And then Buck's like, are you sure? He's like, he was like, what are you talking about? Why are you asking these questions?
He obviously, you're saying this Catholic cardinal's not a Christian?
Like, well, he didn't get raptured by God. Good point. You're right.
Yeah. So then they start to get into the real meat of this conversation, which is what the heck is so important about rebuilding this temple?
Right.
Anyway. And the rabbi starts to kind of explain it, and the way it is described is interesting to me. Jerusalem was the city where God would place his name and where his people would come to worship. I feel like the whole, like, place his name, like, yeah. that's very, like, okay, you're, like, obviously pulling from, like, some specific, like, scriptures.
Yeah.
Right now. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And then we end this little chunk by the cab showing up, and Rabbi Feinberg's like, oh, Buck, like, you'll pay for this, right?
Yeah, and also, he earlier made him pay for the, like, valet guy. So, you know, hey, he's smart. Plus, Buck.
I mean, he's a king. He's a king for getting Buck to pay for everything,
yeah,
for sure.
Since we're not journalists, this feels really weird, but Buck is like, no, this isn't a big deal. This is kind of cheap for getting an interview. And since the guy literally was talking about being a politician, he's schmarmy now. He can't help it.
The rabbi is schmarmy now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it as him being schmarmy. I thought it was him being a little rascal.
That's another way to say it.
Okay. Cover for another little sliver of a paragraph to Rayford is sitting because Hattie has gone off to, I guess, get Nikolai. And so Rayford pulls out his New Testament Psalms combo. Now, do you remember these bad boys, Tim?
I don't.
Really?
It took me a couple times reading this. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, no, it was like a little, like, this is like your carrying Bible. It's
I do remember
it's got the only
Bible.
Important stuff, which is the New Testament and the Psalms.
Which the Psalms are fun to read because they're very straightforward.
The Psalms are fun because they're comforting.
Yeah.
Like, it was very much like a thing. I definitely remember. It's like, oh, right, yeah, this is the New Testament plus Psalms.
Yeah. That's, I was more of into those really tiny Bibles that are like an inch and a half. You ever see those things? Those things
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. What's the point of that? You gotta get out your big ass magnifying glass.
Yes, I think literally. I think it was kind of a bit, and that's why I thought it was good. It's a good bit.
What if you kept it like on your heart, and then that was the thing that kept you from getting shot?
Yeah. it could and would definitely. And of course, since I'm still reading on Kindle, you know the Bible verse is friggin' underlined as hell that reads.
I like honestly just like skipped over. It was some, you know,
what?
It was like normal Psalm shit.
It hearing it like nowadays, it does feel really weird of like, nothing bad, yo, just believe in me, buddy. Nothing bad will happen to you. You'll be safe.
Totally fine.
No, there be no plagues, baby. All you gotta do is be a part of my shit, baby.
It actually, there was literally a song that was to that verse, and that was what was immediately in my brain. He who dwells in the secret place of the Lord Most High. Any other evangelicals out there know that song?
Shout out.
He who dwells in the secret place. Yeah, I know it. I just needed to prove it a little bit to you guys.
We all know that you know a hymn.
It's not a hymn.
It's not a hymn?
It's a praise and worship song.
It's not a hymn?
No, it's not like I think of a hymn as like an old.
Is it a hymn book?
No, it was like a praise. It was like on a projector.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Damn.
Yeah.
My assumption, if I haven't heard it, it's a dusty old green book.
No.
In the pew.
But it was like not cool enough for your church, because you were like beyond it. We were like, my church had just kind of warmed up to some praise and worship music.
Gotcha.
So this is like a more classic, like probably, I'm guessing like from the 80s.
It was like the first praise and worship song.
Yeah, I honestly feel like it may have been like from Hillsong.
I do not doubt it.
You know what? I'm just going to look at it really quick. It's by David Morris. Oh, I'm guys. I'm so fucking right. It's from 1988.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I feel satisfied with myself that I could ping exactly the time provenance of this fucking praise and worship song that my church used to sing.
And what bit of information is that taking up in your brain that should be there instead?
Well, like probably, you know, like any of my various tasks that I need to do to make my life better.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, all that good stuff.
Well, let's go back to Buck. And since it's a scene interstitial going back, it's got to start with a bang. And Rabbi Feinberg just starts reading starts screaming to the temple. Basically saying,
oh my God, that part, they really were like, we're being so silly right now.
Basically saying, okay, we got distracted for a second, but let's go back to talking about the temple. And then they said that the cabbie like stopped driving for a second. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going back to the temple.
And he's like, not you, us.
You keep driving to the airport, dumbass.
He's definitely a character. He's got a lot of charisma.
Boisterous.
He's a boy. Yeah, he's a rowdy. He's a rowdy rascal.
Yeah.
He's a rowdy rascal rabbi.
And he gives us a little history lesson on ye old temple. You know, things we all probably knew already. Am I right?
Well, and unfortunately, while I was reading it, I was like, man, how much of this is like real? Like, I don't know how this like exactly matches up to like historic stuff. But long story short, what he explains to Buck is that, like, listen, our temple has been fucked up many times. And the very last time, like, after it had been destroyed and rebuilt multiple times, the Jewish people themselves ended up burning it down to keep it from falling into Roman hands.
Yeah.
So, and because the whole thing is like, we got to rebuild the temple. That's like the only way that our people are going to be like in a good spot again.
It's like such a specific symbol, and it makes sense for them.
Rabbi Feinberg mentions that the site is, quote unquote, now occupied by the Mohammedans.
I was eye bugged out. My eyes were, whoa.
That's where I'm like, there's a lot going on here to break down.
Yeah.
So either this is just straight up how Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins think about them. But I think what it actually is they're like, oh, no, this is how our rabbi would talk about them. Which is like, kind of breaking my brain. Like, let's make them say something kind of like not chill.
Not chill, because they're obviously enemies and they hate each other. Yeah. So he would say something weird, even though we're into it, right? It's like, they're a third party who's obviously on one of the sides.
Yeah. And he explains that as long as a Muslim mosque is on the Temple Mount, that the Jewish people, I don't know who he's speaking for exactly in that group, but this is what he's saying. They believe that their holy place is being defiled. And that's the whole deal, is the temple's got to be there.
And he also accuses the Muslims of building a friggin' cemetery.
Yes.
Right? Where the gates are, where Elijah or some shit is supposed to walk in. But since he's a priest, he can't walk through a cemetery. And then he was like, those little rat, those assholes. And I thought that was funny. I assume that's true to some extent.
Whether it was like intentionally done, but like, I guess the effect is the same. Like, well, this is here and you're not supposed to walk through if you're a priest.
Right, right. And it also kind of gave a different vibe, like nowadays, of how, Muslims in Israel aren't really treated very well. But what are you gonna do? This takes place in a fictional 1997, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
or I think it takes place at, like, in a fictional the year 2000, because that's why they wanted like the planes better and stuff like that. But anyways,
in your book, it's set in the fictional year 2000.
That is true.
Back over to Rayford, and he and Nikolai are finally meeting. They have not actually met each other until this part, which does kind of feel crazy. It's like, oh, really?
It feels crazy, but
so much that it's like, Rayford has not met
him. It feels crazy, but the fact that they're meeting is way crazier than any other aspect of it.
Which Nikolai kind of like brings up, like, wow, it's such a small world. Our little circle's connected now.
Right, right. Like, a botanist told me about a journalist told me about a hot lady, and a hot lady told me about you, baby. Small world, small world. And Ray's like, I guess, I don't know. I think it was God that did it.
Well, this is where we start to do the whole, like, the way that Buck and Rayford have to, like, respond to things so as not to, like, lie.
Right.
So they just kind of sometimes just say things that aren't really to do with, like, what the first person said, so they don't have to tell a lie. Like, it's related.
And they're also hiding the fact that they know each other and they're best friends.
Yeah, they're being shady, or they're trying to keep that on the down low.
Which is a little weird to me, because Hattie went to dinner with Buck and Ray and Chloe. So.
Yeah, but I guess that was like kind of more like, oh, this just happened. Like, we met each other and we were introducing.
I think
we don't actually know each other very well.
I think the book wants to put that in because they need the lines drawn. They need the two teams.
Yes.
They need to keep secret. Like, to the book and us and to them, even though it doesn't really make 1,000% sense, it is the tribulation force versus the Antichrist. And that's why they have to kind of like do some shady spy shit, even if you probably just be like, yeah, I know Buck.
Yeah.
We got dinner a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, they got – yeah, they have to make it like 1,000 times more interesting than it would be.
Right.
Which makes sense. They're writing a book.
Mm-hmm. The book – they chose to make the book not boring. And for that, I disagree.
Yeah. They should have made it worse to make it more accurate.
That's what I'm saying.
When Nikolai and Rayford start their little talk, Rayford's like, all right off the bat, I gotta let you know, I'm not agreeing to be your pilot. I'm just agreeing to fly you to Israel.
Is that cool?
And Garvey is like, again, not concerned, because it's kind of the same as like the way he talked to Buck and everyone. Like, I'll get you. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's not worried about it.
I know once you see the plane and see everything we have, I know you're going to be like gunning for this hard.
Yeah. Carpathia's like, when you see my badass plane, you're going to definitely want to work for me.
Yeah.
And he also is like, now, you know, you can't be proselytizing on the job, right? And basically, Raver's like, if that's what you command me to do and you're my boss, I'll do that.
Yeah, because Ray is such a toady. He's like, if my boss tells me to not do it, I won't do it. You know?
The only person second to God is my boss.
And it is funny. There's like a line of like, He feels a little weird about not proselytizing to the Antichrist. And,
It's like, listen, I think this one's a lost cause, buddy. You can let this one go.
I'm glad they made that joke, because it's like, I guess I have to tell Bruce I didn't even try it, because what's the point? Because Nikolai has no choice. He cannot be a Christian. Damn.
Yeah, because God won't let him.
But Nikolai might not even have a real soul. So who's
to say? maybe he's just not a real person. He just doesn't matter.
Someone told me that in the prequel books, he is like a clone or something.
Oh my God.
Or like a vat baby or something like that.
Oh shit. Genetically modified. Ain't got no soul.
Ain't got no soul. You can't save him. Ain't got no soul. It's fine, buddy. Yeah, of course, Ray. It's interesting because Ray is like so much better with Nikolai than Buck is, where Buck is like shitting his pants. And then Ray even like jokes, like, because he tells him, I can work with anybody. And then he kind of chuckles, like, well, if I could work with the Antichrist, who couldn't I work with?
Wow.
And, you know, I'm chuckling.
Rayford, how about you come deal with some of these jokers? I gotta deal with at work, man. Am I right?
That's so true.
I'm gonna just deal with these guys.
I hate them.
The other thing that I just wanted to call out in this section is Carpathia talking about how the United Nations is going to become known as the global community, which they've already explained. But I just wanted to put a little exclamation mark on top of anything global. Globalism is evil. Like, the way they talk, like, it's always like a sinister thing. Like, anything global, globalism.
Yeah.
Like, that's some, again, I want to say that's some Alex Jones shit, but as we figured out in a previous episode, this was before Alex Jones. But it's in the same swamp, the same primordial
It's the same playbook, so it's just... Yeah. If someone has more charisma.
It's just my like brain like lighting up when I see these little keywords in here. Yeah. I'm like, oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely dog whistling all over
extremely
the fucking place.
Dog whistle. I just thought there's a lot of I can't even tell where the dog whistling is like intentional and where it just comes out.
Right. I mean that's a great point. I mean, as we've said before, the whole book has a point, right?
Yes.
And it's not like subtle. And
no.
That being said, there are more subtle things to it. And I think you're right. I think I would not have caught on to the whole globalism being bad aspect to everything. I thought, sure, it's probably not good that no one can like, or that people can make choices for me or something like that. I don't know. But as a red-blooded American, I'm not trying to join no global community. Get out of here.
That's fucked up. back over to Buck and Rabbi Feinberg, where Rabbi Feinberg makes a little joke about Buck playing Paper's Flight to Israel.
He's like, absolutely not.
Nope, can't do that, buddy.
Sorry, bud. See, he's a zany rascal.
I mean, I love Rabbi Feinberg, and he's right to do it. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. That's all I'll say. Again, talking about those little, like, is this just a writer?
Right.
Saying weird stuff? Anyway, whatever. So, Carpathia calls a car to take him and Rayford to see his big cool plane.
It's a big cool plane.
That's literally all that happens in this paragraph. Yeah. It's got a paragraph. They go see a plane.
Hey, I want to see a plane.
Meanwhile, Buck is heading back to the UN because, and I didn't even like get into this in a previous section because it was a little throwaway.
Yeah.
But Buck had left all his shit at the hotel and was like gonna do like a real interview with Rabbi Feinberg with like his, you know, recording shit. But he like saw him on the street, ended up in the car with him.
Feinberg moved his flight up. So Buck's like, all right, time to interview Ray. He's like, nope,
no, I'm
leaving early.
Going to the airport. Follow me. Yeah, so he ends up doing is just like taking notes in a little notebook. Mm-hmm. And he calls back to the hotel to be like, oh, I got to get my bag. And they're like, oh, someone already got your bag for you.
Your friend took it.
And he's like, you let a random person take my bag?
And they're like, oh, I think they're pretty trustworthy. He's like, it was Carpathia. Yep. It was Steve Plank.
Yep.
God damn, he can do anything.
Yeah, so Buck is gonna go meet up with Steve Plank to get his bag.
And it's like, Carpathia's not there. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm coming to see you, bitch.
Sure, fine, whatever.
So back to Carpathia and Rayford. They're in the limo going to see the big cool plane.
Mm-hmm, it's big and cool.
And we find out in this section that Carpathia also doesn't drink alcohol.
Interesting. I wonder if that's true or if he just lies and copies mannerisms of anyone he's near.
I didn't know what that meant. I was like, I feel like that was an interesting choice and I wonder why.
Yeah,
I feel like it's gotta come up again.
Maybe if it's the situation, well yeah, cause like at this point they haven't really mentioned, I think maybe they have, but I forgot about it, but like they're not quite harping on his idiosyncrasies as much.
Yeah, so, like, I wanna know more about that.
Right, they haven't mentioned in a while how little he sleeps and that he doesn't use contractions and things like that. They haven't brought it back up.
Does he eat food?
Does he eat food? Great question. He probably does not eat a lot of food.
And actually, did we actually see him drink anything in this chapter?
Yes.
He physically did take a sip of something. I gotta go look, actually. Because now my brain is going wild.
Now you're in the, like, he's a gray. He's not...
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Oh, enjoy the seltzer.
Exactly.
They do have a little back and forth about not drinking, and then Ray's like, yeah, I used to, but, you know, whatever. Now I'm too sad because my wife and child are gone, and Ray's like, I get that, brother. It's fine.
Okay, guys... Carpathia officially sips on some seltzer.
Oh, hell yeah.
He does. So he is able, unlike a vampire, he is able to take in.
Does he swallow?
Yeah. Like, well, and I guess I'm saying this is a what we do in the shadows vampire rules. Like, so he, well, maybe he still is. He could still barf it up later.
Who knows? He gets all the car first. He
violently throws up the seltzer water because he can only drink like Four Loko. I guess he said he didn't drink alcohol. I was thinking it was a demonic beverage.
Yeah. Four Loko.
Okay. Like, what is a more demonic? What's a more demonic beverage than Four Loko?
I mean, I think some of these monster energy drinks are like more monstrous to me.
No, that's true. That's true. So like, maybe what if he just has a terrible monster energy habit? But no, it's not even real
sugar. That's why I don't sleep.
It's fake. It's like aspartame, so it's not even real sugar. Right.
He's not a real person.
And it's got like guarana in it.
Yes. Yes.
Taurine.
Yes,
I don't know. Yes, all that shit.
Yes.
That's what he's drinking.
We know that for sure.
Yeah.
There's a little back and forth about the rapture where it's like, yeah, you know, it seems like you believe in that Jesus shit. And then Ray's like, I will not pretend that Nikolai says, I will not pretend that I share that belief, but I respect any comfort the thought may bring you.
Man, I gotta start dropping that on people. Like, I'm not gonna pretend to believe that, but I respect how much it comforts you.
Yeah.
That would make people so mad.
Yeah, it's like so demeaning. It'd be like, oh, you just do it because you need your little binky.
Because
which
the thing is
true. Religion is the opiate of the masses.
Religion is the binky of the masses.
But, I don't agree with Stalin on a lot of things, but.
Well, but here's the thing. This does
did
like.
Say that? Go ahead, sorry.
I think he may have. Or it was at least attributed to him. Mm-hmm. Tim's going to find out. But the thing is, like, I've seen a certain line of, like, right wing reasoning where they're like about pronouns, like, I'm not gonna feed into your delusion of this thing. So it's like, okay, cool. So can I stop feeding into your delusion?
Right.
Of believing in a god? Cause I would like to. I don't think that shit's real. So,
no, I mean, that's one of the weirdest, dumb bullshits that we have to deal with as an American. It's just, we have to go around and just accept all this Jesus bullshit.
Like,
it sucks.
you think a man came back to life after 3 days? Okay, that's valid, I guess.
Yeah,
cool.
We can't have healthcare.
I'm not gonna call you a fucking idiot.
Or anything good, because so many people think that a guy made the earth and died and came back and let his buddies put their fingers in his holes. It sucks. Exactly. We can't have anything good. And it's like, it's not even that, like, it's not that ridiculous to say that our problems are squarely because of that. I have said before that the religion is just the tool of the capitalist overlords.
Right.
And if we solve the religion issue, they would figure something else out. But I think it would be a whole lot harder to figure it out, is my goddamn opinion. We would have a time to get some things back if we made religion illegal. Who's with me?
Can I just say, while Tim was like making like interesting and good points, my brain was thinking about how I want to take on more advice from the Antichrist and get into Antichrist maxing.
Okay.
So that I'm going to start saying, like, I don't pretend to share your belief, but that's great for you. I think I'm just going to start taking life advice from the Antichrist now and see how that works for me.
I think, you know, he's proof of the success of it. So,
Tim, let me see that seltzer. I need a sip of seltzer water.
Yeah,
I'm like the Antichrist.
Look at
now.
You, Antichrist maxing so hard.
That's delicious.
Polar
I love seltzer.
Delicious. Delicious.
I feel like the polar seltzer would be too flavorful for Nikolai. Like,
yucky.
I think he seems like a shit. What's he? Soy. He seems like a Soylent guy.
Okay.
Like he's eating for efficiency.
I'm keeping an open mind here. I'm not trying to put our modern expectations on him. Is what
okay?
I'm
yeah,
saying.
Maybe your good point. Soylent didn't exist yet, so he probably was drinking some other swill.
Yeah. So, yeah, this section is a lot of back and forth because people are in cars. Buck meets up with Steve and he's like, hey, buddy, I need a friggin' favor. And there's a lot of hostility back and forth.
There is, because Buck is like, buddy, get me in to see those two kooks at the Wailing Wall.
And then Steve's like, no.
Like, what the
Nikolai
fuck
hates
is
them.
Wrong with you?
And what's wrong with you? Take the fucking job. No.
You dumb bitch.
I'm too busy. Like, I'm writing so many good articles right now. And he's like, well, write them for us. He's like, no!
I already told you!
I can't do that. Even though I guess if Ray is pretty much going to take the job for the airplane, I gotta assume Buck is going to eventually take this job. Unless something insane happens, then they agree Buck should.
How is Buck going to get out of this, actually? Because, it seems like Rayford's going to go there.
Right.
And but before, when they were talking about it with Bruce and Chloe, it was kind of like, well, it kind of seems like you both should take the job.
Right,
jobs.
Exactly.
So maybe Buck will, but I'm just like, man, how's that going to work out? Like, I don't understand how it's going to work out. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, it might just be a situation where Buck gets blackballed, but Ray is there. And it's good that they didn't, this might be another thing where it's like, this doesn't make as much sense now, but in the future for plot points they need to do, it makes a little more sense why Ray is pretending not to know Buck. It's gonna pay off for them because, like, I don't know what happened. I don't remember.
It's probably not safe for them. Yeah. I think that actually does make sense that they're keeping it so. Yeah. Like, they just don't want them to know anything.
I don't really remember what happens between now and then when they're in a bunker.
I don't.
So
remember
it all. I know there's some bombs, but like we're years away from that, which makes me real sad.
So Rayford and Carpathia make it to the big plane, which used to be Air Force One, but is being currently repainted to say Global Community Plan.
Oh, it's so good.
As I'm saying, global. It's the globalism plane. Like, welcome to the globalism plane. And, like, honestly, this plane is sick as hell.
It's the sickest plane that's ever lived.
They have a modem. Or what is it? They were like, it's got, like, modem in each seat or, like, something.
My book said satellite phones. Hell yeah, let's go.
Oh, my God.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Hold on. Oh, my God. Every seat had its own phone, modem jack, VCR, and TV.
Shut the fuck up.
You're just a satellite phone.
Satellite phone. I don't know. They definitely didn't say VCR.
Oh, my God. This is so beautiful that this is happening for us right now. I love that. I'm so glad I have the OG version.
Yeah, I feel like a fucking bitch that I have the new 777 version. That's so fucking funny.
Did it say that it had a restaurant?
Yes.
Okay.
Still cool.
Okay, that part's there. I did find it really baffling that... Okay, it makes sense that the president has a living quarters on this plane, but even the, like, crew and the pilot, a.k.a. Rayford, has, like, his own damn room on the plane. How big is this plane?
It's a big-ass plane.
I mean, it sounds sick. I want to fly on this plane.
Yeah, I mean, from watching...
I would love to watch my VHS tapes on this plane.
From watching various Successions and House of Cards and things like that, I feel like I have a better understanding of big plane.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm like, whoa, mama! What's all this stuff? But I do know, like, A lot of planes are like multi-story inside there.
No, that's true. That's true.
I don't even think about it. It's crazy.
I do believe it. Because, I mean, I feel like a lot of the like little like private luxury planes are not as big.
Right.
But, like, the president's going to have a big right. plane.
And he needs space for, like, other motherfuckers. Yeah. So I bet his Ray's apartment on the airplane is quite tiny. But
I would
still
imagine. Maybe not.
Maybe not. It's a pocket dimension of the Antichrist.
Yeah. So, yeah, the airplane is fucking sick.
Yeah, even Ray, who's like, I've seen some pretty sick things, was like, God damn.
This plane is nice.
This is a nice-ass plane, man.
So we cut back over to Buck, and he sees Hattie, because, again, he's now at the UN, so mm-hmm. they just miss each other. And she's like, oh, you know who I just saw? Rayford. And he's like,
you wouldn't say.
Oh, okay. I would be like, who's that? He didn't say that.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
He gave an appropriate, like, oh, I've met that guy. Like, okay.
Well, he said that, yeah, the pilot from the plane, as opposed to the guy we had dinner with.
Yeah, that one might have been a slip on Buck's part.
That's a whoopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the pilot.
Yeah, and Buck is like thinking to himself, like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to be really careful about how I talk about this stuff to everyone in this camp because.
Oh, Jennifer, you did a friggin' typo. Look at that.
What did I say?
So embarrassing. Buck is going to have to be extra careful not to let on how close he is to Buck.
Oh shit!
Damn.
To Rayford.
Fucking roasted in the show.
That's what I was saying. My friggin' brain ain't working.
Hey, they are cutting back and forth between Buck and Ray
so many times.
Joking that they are like just missing each other, but like in the good way, like he doesn't want to be near Ray. It's just
right. It just happens to be happening right. because like, they're in the same area.
Isn't it interesting that Ray's here? Oh, you don't say.
And they both have business with people in that circle.
Right. Exactly.
So.
And you know, I want to say too that we are kind of in what I feel is a climax energy.
Yes.
Where many shit's happening to the extent where the next chapter is already in Israel. So like,
you spoiled it.
So it's not spoiling.
You spoiled the next chapter.
we're gonna say that in 4 minutes. Put a spoiler warning.
No, you're right. No, everything's moving faster now. Yeah. It's like all moving quicker.
Yeah, and of course, people die in the next part, right in front of Buck. So it's like things are getting pretty.
No,
crazy.
We're definitely in the like what is it called? I mean, I know the
rising action.
Yeah, it's like I know denouement is after the climax or whatever. Yeah, I guess rising action,
climax, denouement. We're in clearly the rising action and the extended climax. I mean, book one was obviously Buck seeing people getting murdered in front of him. This. Who knows?
Oh,
he already saw people get murdered by a man with his mouth.
God, I want something real cool to happen at the end of this book, please.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Whatever it is going to be so good.
So
anyways.
Let's end this chapter real quick.
Yeah.
Because Rayford finally gets home.
They skipped so much
time.
How did he get home?
How did he do it?
What did he eat?
basically, he gets home. Chloe can tell that he's all worn out from it.
Yeah.
And they kind of talk about, you know, Rayford meeting the Antichrist.
Like, what's he like? Like, he's pretty fucking sick. And he says again, too, like, if it wasn't for the blatant lying, because Carpathia explained to him also that he's stealing the plane.
Right, but he didn't say it the way that Hattie did. He was like, oh, like, yeah, he's going to give it to us.
Right, right. He let on a little bit. But still, it was so clearly, like, he was lying. That was the thing that was kind of the negative spot on his, you know, record. Meaning, Ray was like, yeah, I guess he was the Antichrist. That being said, goddamn, he was persuasive. That's crazy.
But Ray, I do like how Rayford's like, Clay, I don't think you'd be fooled for a second by this guy.
You're so fucking smart.
Yeah.
And then, they joke about Buck and Chloe talking to each other about their cookie times, and Ray's like, I'm chopped liver.
Like, shut up, you don't care about me anymore.
Shut the fuck up, Dad.
That again, that's him just being a fun dad.
Exactly.
Like, a gentle razzing about your crush, that's good.
Right, and like later they have little more razzings, but they don't want to talk about knowing Buck.
Right.
So it's another very cute moment, chapter 14.
So yeah, as Tim spoiled.
It's not a spoiler.
As Tim spoiled, we teleport forward in time because it just like cuts to Buck in his hotel room in Israel. I was actually confused when I was reading it.
Me too.
I was like, what hotel room?
First Ray leaves the big plane and gets back to Chicago, and now we're in Israel? Like, there's so many sandwiches and Nutri-Grain bars we weren't expecting.
Yeah, like, how hard was it for you to get a cab?
Yeah.
Like, you know, did you get first class tickets? Like, did someone offer you a bottle of champagne?
What, like, meaningless little factoid did Buck bring up to save him 4 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, what did you eat at the airport?
Right.
Did you eat
Buck never
again?
Eats at Dunkin'.
He's not a Dunkin' man. So Buck is struggling because Nikolai and basically everyone else he's asked will not help him make contact with the two witnesses.
And Nikolai, again, hates them. And it gets a little more explicit in this chapter where Plank is eventually like, yeah, I don't know why he's so mad. He's so agitated by them. Or Rosenzweig says
yeah,
that.
He's so riled up by these guys.
Yeah, and then Plank is like, you know, shoots him down, of course, the previous chapter. And, you know, he's also Buck's jet lagged and he's not getting any success.
No. Yeah, as you kind of mentioned, like, Nikolai's actually, like, Steve, like, basically gives Buck the message, like, not only is Nikolai not going to help you, he was actually disappointed you would even ask.
Right. These guys are obviously, like, crazy and shit.
Right. And Nick Carter Matthews gets back to him and basically says the same thing. He's like, these are just two old weirdos playing dress up, man. Come on.
Yeah, like, they're pretty like Moses and Elijah. They have bad costumes.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
I did like that he called their costumes bad.
Yeah.
Because it's funny because we know they're not costumes. Right. He's like ragging on them.
Because I think these are literally Bible men.
They're Bible mans.
Yeah, like, they're not just angels.
They're wearing rags.
They're the guy from the past, I think.
Oh, so, I don't know. I thought they were angels, but I actually don't know.
Well.
Because who is it?
It's that.
I don't think it actually is.
Well, I thought that Cardinal Matthews, maybe he was just being cheeky about it being like Moses and Elijah.
Well, they call themselves Elijah and Moses.
That's why I was kind of wondering if it's literally.
I don't think it is
the
literally
Moses
them.
And the Elijah.
But you know what? I don't know that for sure.
And didn't they just talk about Elijah needs to come back or something like that?
They did talk about Elijah coming back, but aren't these guys getting killed, though?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I don't think it's literally.
That's why they're, well, you know what? It's the Bible, and it can be multiple things, right?
I mean, it could very well. I was assuming they were angels, but it's interesting.
What if they're not? I think it's more interesting. Like, my tier list is, it's literally Moses and Elijah. Then they're just dudes. Who are like,
we just zapped these guys from the past and brought them here.
These are dudes who are filled with, well, they came out of nowhere. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't know. I really actually don't know.
Maybe next episode we'll find out. I don't think so, but maybe.
Yes. Anyway,
next episode of our show.
Right. So, yeah, Carter Matthews is like, dude, don't fuck up your reputation. Try to talk to these guys. This is a bad idea.
Yeah, like, talk to me, baby.
But Buck's like, and yet no one's concerned that it hasn't rained in Jerusalem since they started preaching?
It's like, it's the desert.
Yeah, like, that happens there a lot. Yeah. Like, it's pretty normal.
And I think the assumption might be that Cardinal Matthews should know the prophecy.
Yes, I think that Buck likes to try to get him on, like, Bible stuff.
Shit. Yeah. But, and he doesn't because Cardinal Matthews is a Catholic.
Exactly. He doesn't fucking care. You're like, yeah, that's not, we don't.
That's weird.
We don't look at the Bible like that.
No, it's not literal. And I forget if the two witnesses themselves are like, it ain't fucking raining, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I don't know if they've said that.
But they might have, because when we fast forward in the chapter, I'm going to spoil something that happens.
Right.
It's not a spoiler. It's not a spoiler because it's in this chapter.
It's funny to me to call it a spoiler.
Sometimes I think you actually mean it.
No, I was joking.
Liar. is that when they talk, they say they're sort of their lore. Like, they're like, we can't die yet. This is not the day we die. And it's very heavily implied.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to die soon.
We will.
Just die.
We'll be dying. Don't worry.
And not just like the way every man dies. It's like, no. We're going to die in an appointed place.
Yeah.
It's
going to be interesting.
Right. So my assumption is they're talking a lot. Right? It's been like a month or two. Or
yeah, they won't shut the fuck up.
And so they had to bring up at least four times, it ain't raining. Isn't that crazy?
You see any rain out here?
Hey, yet another note. That's super weird. Anyways. Yet again, we don't get any Nutri-Grain bars or toast or coffee.
No.
Rayford is flying the goddamn plane. Global Community One, baby. And he's like, this thing's sick. He had a little pep talk with the crew. Which I loved.
Weird, like, concepts about, like, the way that an airplane crew. He says, the best airplane crew is an invisible one. People feel comfort and security when they see uniforms in service, not individuals.
Mm.
That's a very bootlicker of you, Rayford. Which I guess I shouldn't be.
I feel like this
by.
Is, like, it's both that, but it's also, like, this is what rich people think.
That
it's
is what
not,
rich people
it's
think.
Not just Jenkins and LaHaye. Oops, your politics are showing. It's like, oh, your class is showing.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I feel like this would be true all over the place, so to speak.
Like, they're like, oh, this is what an honorable servant would be
right.
like.
because they want, what they want is they want to pick the servant, the special one out.
Yes.
To give them treats as an, I know your name, and yes. I'll make eye contact.
Yes. And they're like, what a good master I am.
Exactly.
I also, man, Raver is just, what a guy he is. He also thinks to himself about the crew. The Navigator was a young man Rayford would not have chosen, but he did his job. Like, why you gotta rag on this guy? He did, like, he's literally doing his job.
I'm very thankful.
Why would you not pick him? Like, what about him? You just met him.
I clenched my butt a little bit because I thought they were gonna give this guy, I don't know, a descriptor.
Oh, yeah.
Any descriptor. Yeah. Take your pick, dear listener.
Yeah.
Whether his race, his hair.
Whether he was gay.
He was a gay man. He was reading gay porn on his friggin' Bible something. Yeah, but they didn't. They just
gay
literally.
Bible.
Just, he literally was reading the gay Bible.
The gay Bible.
The Bible, but gay. That feels like something from the other two, for sure.
Yes, it does.
But no, we don't get anything, so I am thankful for that.
Thank
it's
God.
It's just weird.
Yeah. Rayford calls Chloe to check in.
From the airplane.
From the airplane.
On the satellite phone.
I don't know if they really, like, said what kind of a phone it was in my, I didn't pick it up. But yeah, they kind of talk in a kind of, not really code, but more just like being not specific about who they're talking about.
Right.
Because yeah.
It's like, you know who.
Yeah, exactly.
Not saying Buck.
And also Rayford mentions here, it's like, oh, we're actually not coming straight back. We're going to go to Baghdad first because it's the closest airport to Babylon that can handle this big-ass plane.
And yet another, like, dorky airplane update is like, dorky airplane as it relates to airports update. They can't fly into Jerusalem. It's too big, the airplane.
The airplane is too big
for the airport.
They
can't fly into Baghdad or something like, or they have to fly to Baghdad.
They have to fly to Tel Aviv, I think, first.
Tel Aviv, yeah.
And then go to Jerusalem.
Yeah, and take like, and then he tells us how long the bus is and how far away it
again,
is.
Again, like the specifics there.
Shut up.
But you're not going to be like, Buck got on a plane to Israel.
Yeah, you didn't tell me what they ate for breakfast, but you're telling us this? Get out of here.
Chloe.
Oh, boo. Boo.
What?
Boo.
What?
Because it's just like, he's out of nowhere. Rayford's like, I am so alone.
Yeah.
I am so sad. Well, oh, by the way, a new bitch just dropped.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So, yeah, that's the whole thing. This whole call. He calls Chloe because he goes to lay down in his little pilot bed like, I'm lonely and sad. And Chloe's like, oh, by the way. Bruce called and let me know that there's a lady named Amanda White who, basically, I guess, the mom, Irene, had, like, witnessed to her. And then she forgot Irene's name. And then after the rapture happened, she became a Christian. And then, like, was able to finally, like, figure out, like, oh, this was the church where she was at.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's kind of funny because it's, like, okay, Amanda White calls Bruce to see if the church still exists.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, someone that was really important to me went there. I forget her name, but it's something like Iron and Steel.
Oh my God. I fully forgot that.
And Bruce is like, Irene Steel? Like, yes.
That's
and then
her.
Ray was like, well, that's a little weird that if she was so important, you don't remember his name. Hey, Ray, maybe it's important because it was the one person, just like you, who knew immediately, first one they thought of, and made them become a Christian in the rapture, you dumbass.
Yeah, Rayford's being pretty judgy right now of who's obviously going to be his wife in the future.
Yes, which is, we've said it before, he does get married, and it is to her.
I remember, I forgot her name, but I'm like, oh, once I saw Amanda, I'm like, oh, that's her. I remember her name.
It sucks so bad knowing. But I could see the little fun if you didn't know, because it's so obvious that you could be like, oh, I think they're going to get together. But it's like, it's not very clever. It's not clever, but
well,
I'll accept
it. Tim is now turning on the books once again.
I just did jack off.
Listen,
motion,
Rayford has got to get a wife, like, because you think my man's going to be jerking off?
My fucking dude is like
tribulation. He can't do that.
Talking shit about the girl Rayford. I wonder where this is going to go.
Yeah,
they're going to get married.
They're obviously going to get married.
I don't know. I don't remember shit about her.
They mentioned too in this part that she had lost her husband and two children.
Who are older.
So they're like in the same situation.
Exactly.
Of being left behind.
Left behind.
So obviously, I'm sure they have a million things in common and they're going to get married and kiss each other in the mouth.
It wasn't ironic.
So Buck finally gets a hold of Haim. And is this is like his kind of his like last resort,
right?
To be able to get close to the witnesses, like Haim, buddy, please, buddy, you gotta help me. And Haim's like, dude,
don't.
The crowds are so bad. It's, everything's crazy right now.
So scary.
Like, and Haim drops this little piece of info. Apparently, they're even seeing Orthodox Jews converting to Christianity.
Yeah,
they Christians are addicted to the concept of Jewish people converting to Christianity.
Yeah.
That is like their number one desire.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Is to get, and I think it's because it's like validating to them. Like, see, even the Jewish, the chosen people are picking
the chosen people that killed Jesus are now realizing it. That's good. Cause yeah, it's not other, religions, to the yield, the East. It's Jews for obvious reasons, like Jennifer said.
But. Yeah. It's just, it's just interesting.
Yep. And then we get, more bits of like Haim being on the, in the car with Carpathia. And then he even lets in like how fucking pissed, more so than even Plank did, about Carpathia and the two witnesses.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Like, yeah, Carpathia just like looking at the two witnesses and just like growling. Like, yeah. I fucking hate these guys.
He's like, Buck's like, well, what's he say? He's like, he doesn't. He just goes,
he's just pissed.
I'm mad. I'm mad at you. that's good. I like that Buck is getting it from different angles.
Yes.
And that Haim doesn't, you know, he's a little rascal, so he just says shit.
And Buck finally is like, Haim, can you please ask your friend Zion Ben Judah if he will can hook me up to talk to the witnesses? And Haim's like, dog, he's what? Like he's busy so right busy. Now. He's fuck? Like about to like do a big like presentation on the news about his research on the Messiah.
But Buck's like, you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to be distracted before you go into it. He's probably been working on this for years. So, you know, he's probably just ready. He's antsy. He's like, all right. I'll call and congratulate him and sniff him out. But like, if there's, I'm not going to push it at all. If
and don't get mad at me if it doesn't work.
Yeah. And he's like, fine. Okay.
Next thing that we know, Buck wakes up from a jet lag nap because the phone is ringing. He's and like, he has no idea how long the phone's ringing.
He's groggy. His hair is askew. He has dirt mouth.
Yeah, he's got like wrinkles on his face from the pillow. I think it actually literally does say that. He has like marks on his face from the pillow.
He's probably drooling.
Good for him. It sounds like a good nap.
Yeah. And on the phone is someone with a heavy accent, and they literally chose to like write his sentences.
Yep.
And
that was sure a choice.
Accented English. And I was like, oh, fun. Look at this. It's Zion Ben Judah, friends. He's calling them. He's like, hey, I'm fucking here.
I'm outside your hotel.
And he's like, my hot.
What?
I was like, well, Ben Judah Haim said it was of some urgency, so I came. Fuck, I should have told you I was coming.
Like, that's my bad, yeah.
Are you ready to go? Like, no, I need 10 minutes.
I'm stinky.
I smell.
Yeah, so Buck takes like a cold shower and puts on his journalist uniform, which is a jean shirt and jeans.
No.
It is. He's wearing a denim shirt and he's wearing his dress jeans.
He says. He said, but in my book, he said button up, but I think.
It says jean shirt in mine. Oh. 100% jean shirt. Because it stood out to me. I gotta find it. Buck chose his usual denim shirt, dressy jeans, ankle high boots, and leather jacket.
Yeah, it literally says button up in mine.
Wow, they're like, this
sucks.
Is dorky. We gotta change it. Because I thought it was pretty sick of him to put on the Canadian tuxedo to go on this adventure.
It's like, dude, this was never cool, but like, we have to change this.
It could theoretically, I think they probably would have said this, but it could be like a traditional denim shirt and like a black jeans, and that's okay. You can do that. But I don't think that's what's happening. I think he's wearing denim on denim. And looking sick.
He looks great.
So he puts on his journalist uniform and he goes downstairs and gets it. Well, he goes downstairs and this is another part that I was like looking at the authors like, are you for real right now? Because Buck had no idea what the rabbi looked like. Would he look like Rosenzweig or Feinberg or neither?
See, he said or neither. So, you know, that's why.
I'm going to say, he's like, does he look like this one Jew I know or this other Jew I know?
Which of the two Jews do I know all of this? Which Jew are you?
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is all I'm saying about the way they talk about Jewish people is like, they talk about them like they're like some like mythical like species.
Yeah.
And it's just like, these are the only options. But we find out he's wearing a suit and a felt hat.
Yeah. So, a little more quote unquote traditional.
Yeah. He gets in the car and Buck is happily surprised to learn that Ben Judah also calls these guys the two witnesses.
Which I was like, oh, y'all about to become best friends. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now pedantic Jennifer's about to come out.
Let's go.
Because Ben Judah gives, like, the whole download on, like, who he is and his background.
Because he's like, because Buck wants to, like, interview him, but he's like, I'm not talking about shit until tomorrow. So he basically goes, like, this is my name. I'm friggin' 40.
I'm 44. Kids, yeah.
He has stepsons or stepkids.
Yes, he's cool. Like, I just got married like 6 years ago and I have two teenage stepchildren.
I thought that was a fun.
Yeah, I did actually think that was kind of interesting, even though it was kind of like, why are you doing this? But Ben Judah mentions that, like, he's always been kind of like a scholar, and he says that he knows 22 languages, and he mentions that he just recently learned Aramaic. That makes no goddamn sense, because Aramaic is literally in the Hebrew Bible.
Whoa.
So he would obviously already know Aramaic. He wouldn't have just started studying.
Take that.
Because if he knows 22 fucking languages and talking about him, like, learning, like, ancient Near Eastern languages, Aramaic would have been one of the first ones he would learn. Even I learned some Aramaic.
Yeah, take that.
So
you just got fucking
shit right.
You just got fucking Ivy League.
That's right,
Jenkins.
Bitch.
What's
like,
up?
If it was like, oh, he just learned like Ugaritic or like something, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, we all agreed with that thing you just said.
But that really did stand out. I was like, that actually literally makes no sense that he would just now be learning Aramaic.
Yeah, and my assumption too would he would probably learn Greek much sooner as well.
Yes.
But maybe if they made him seem a little more worldly, right?
I think it's literally just that the people writing this are like, what are the other languages in the Bible?
Right, no, exactly.
It's Greek and Aramaic.
Because it's implied that he learned these languages so that he could read the Bible better.
Right.
Hit both his Bible and the one that we call the Bible as well. Which is, you know, a little weird.
If they wanted to show that he was learning more, the Greek, that's like fine, actually. That one makes more sense to me. They should have said like Coptic or something.
Well, because like, he wouldn't have learned Greek because he's Old Testament, but now he comes to the conclusion, I assume, that Jesus was the Messiah, right?
Right.
So now he has to learn Greek for the New Testament.
They should have had him learning Greek and like Latin for New Testament stuff. Mm. If it was going to make any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
But he speaks Norwegian.
Yeah, apparently he does. It's one of his 22 languages, which we will find out soon. So, yeah, Ben Judah is, as we've discussed, going to present the results of his research on TV soon. Can you read this quote from him?
I don't pretend that the program will compete with anything containing sex, violence, or humor, but I expect it'll be controversial nonetheless. I had to read that twice when I was reading it. I was like, huh? Did they say sex?
My dude bringing out the, like, Family Guy song right now, violence and movies and sex on TV.
Yeah. Like, I'm just a humble researcher, and I'm not going to, you know, sex it up, but I think it's going to be pretty good.
I think it's going to be controversial.
He's hyping the whole thing up.
Which is exciting. So his research has also made him interested in the two witnesses, and he's like, hey, you know, maybe since I know 22 languages, I'll be able to talk to them in at least one of them.
Right. Well, yeah, they obviously both speak Hebrew, because to him, they speak Hebrew.
Right, which we're going to get into.
Yeah.
So the plan is...
And on the TV, they always speak Hebrew as well.
Yes, 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 yes. So their plan is that they're going to try to, like, talk, like, because apparently the dudes will occasionally, like, go rest, like, behind a little building nearby. So they're like, okay, we're eventually going to try to, like, talk to them there. But they're like, first, let's just, like, go blend in the crowd, see what's up.
I can't envision this setup at all. Because there's where they are is fenced in. So I guess they just plop themselves in a fenced in area that has a back door. Like, I know what the Wailing Wall looks like, but I don't know the geography of it.
Me neither. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to think about this too deep.
Fine.
I'm just going to let this one go because I don't fucking know. So they join the crowd and they notice that, like, one of the rabbis in the crowd is fucking pissed at the shit that the witnesses are saying.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that this was pointed out is that the Wailing Wall is still being used as it's, you know, used today.
Yes.
People are praying and then putting little notes in the cracks and things like that. And yeah, there are still people doing that, even though the two witnesses are preaching. And every now and again, apparently it's like really quiet because the witnesses don't have any speakers or anything like that. So they're just shouting. I thought it was really interesting when One of the Orthodox people at the wall who are not part of the crew, listening to the two witnesses, gets really, really, really upset.
Yeah.
And it's basically like, you know, hey, they're saying some bullshit, but luckily Ben Judah's there to translate for him because he is speaking Hebrew.
Yes. So, yeah, the witnesses clap back against this guy who's like, what are you saying?
He beseeches the Almighty God. Oh, actually, the witnesses even
said
it.
Yeah, the witnesses say this.
So it was not Ben Judah that translates it.
No, no, no.
So this was confusing.
This is how it starts. This is how it starts.
Yeah.
Because Buck understands them.
Right, because I was like, who's talking?
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, wait. This is one of the two witnesses talking. It goes, silence! He just, like, screams out,
yeah,
which I,
yeah.
I also thought was, like, probably, it's probably super fucking annoying that, like, when anyone talks at the wailing wall, they yell at you. But then, I guess, on top of that, he translates for it. He's like, he beseeches Almighty God to strike us dead for blaspheming his name. But he is as the Pharisees of old.
This is also a thing that Christians love to be like, yeah. You're just like the Pharisees.
Clearly not realizing that they're also the Pharisees.
You are the Pharisees, my good bitch.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe we should, like, explain this a little bit, because I think people who are not, like, deep in, like, evangelical Christian cultures, like, might not even understand, like, what what is being implied by calling someone a Pharisee. Like, my impression, like, Pharisee was always used to be, like, this person is, like, all high and mighty and following the letter of the law, but they don't really get the spirit of the law.
Yeah. Because they were just like a political sect, I think, or like,
yeah.
I don't know if it was like a, because there's the Pharisees and Sadducees, and I wasn't sure if it was like, I can't remember if it was like an appointed thing or like Republicans and Democrats.
I kind of forget. Or
we just
too,
like two
honestly.
Sections, we're not super important, but basically, the Pharisees were always on Jesus' ass.
Yeah, they were always dogging him.
And they were always trying to trick him by kind of trapping him in the words
in
so
the
to
scriptures,
speak.
Right? Using
because
the scriptures against him,
they would literally choose things that they argue over because they can't come to a conclusion. But there's just a lot of like traps. But Jesus would always dodge it and like change the subject, and the Pharisees would be like, "God damn, they got us again!
He got me so good!"
And they were always the ones that were like about to stone a harlot. And things of that nature. And then they're the ones that, like, eventually pushed really hard to have Jesus being murdered by the state. Which, you know, hey, which we think is good, by the way. So, yeah, that's them. That's why it's so much like they are the bureaucrats of the church that just are about rigid structure but not about the good stuff. I don't know how a Jewish person would even approach the, like, spiritual aspect of it. But, you know, that's how we were taught of like, yes, they are just, they're going through the motions, but they don't really believe in the word.
Yeah.
But again, that's anachronistic, and whatever the word anachronistic would mean, where you change the religion,
it
as well.
It's more just like to let you all know, like, when these writers are like mentioning the Pharisees, this is all the like baggage they're implying with
it's
it.
It's a very good shorthand.
Exactly.
And
it's
pisses me off because again, it's so clear that Jesus would not like Christians today. That's, like, so obvious.
It's extremely obvious.
It's in the Bible. It's right there. Shit.
So it quickly becomes clear here. So it's already kind of started before this. But then it becomes clear, like, oh, wait a second. Everybody in this crowd is understanding the two witnesses in their own native language.
Right. And as the reader, you don't quite pick up on it. Like I said, I had to read the beginning twice because Buck understood it. And then, you know, it puts me on edge. I'm like, okay, well, maybe he switched to English because Buck's the main character. But yeah, no, everyone hears it in their language.
And Ben Judah realizes it too and is like, oh shit.
Yeah, he's like, damn, I didn't know you fucking spoke Hebrew. I was like,
I don't speak Hebrew. And that's when they start doing some racial profiling in the crowd and being like, you,
hey,
you're Asian. What language are you hearing right now?
Like,
you're pale. You look Norwegian as hell. What language do you hear?
It's like, English from Wisconsin.
Yeah, but regardless, yes, this is happening throughout the crowd. And Ben Judah is like, oh, this is
how
like,
is this not bigger news?
This is from God.
Right, and he's clearly cracking and telling, showing his hand a little bit more in front of Buck before he tells the entire planet that Jesus is God.
It is a little bit weird that this has not come out in the news because, right. like, you know, a Norwegian, they're hearing it in Norwegian, like, I think they would be like, oh, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't, I'm so logical, and this is weird.
I'm so Nordic.
My assumption, my assumption is that it's being suppressed. The goddamn
wow! The mega lamestream media is doing this. Yeah. The Mockingbird media is not allowing it out. meanwhile, a friggin' terrorist tries to fucking attack.
Yeah, we were told
the witnesses earlier, with an automatic rifle.
Like what? Six people have died over the course of let's say 2 months. We don't know that. We have no idea how long it's been, but let's say 2 months. And wouldn't you know it, gang, that it happens again in front of Buck. Yeah, they went to their, you know, 1997 computer. They Googled Muslim terrorist.
They really did.
Control C, Control V.
Okay, actually, how did they describe the person?
He was on a cell phone. He was planking. He had a Fortnite shirt. No.
What? Because mine said they had gold chain around his neck.
Yeah, the gold chain.
And I was like, interesting.
The gold chain is funny, but I think it's just because it melts. It's a pretty picture.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's.
Because I was like, are you trying to say like Muslims wear a gold chain? Like, what are you implying here? Like,
you're taking all your information from Mall Kiosk Gang. Back up.
Yeah.
No, I think it's literally just because it melts later. Okay. So.
Yeah. The dude with the weapon runs towards the guys and they blast him with their mouth fire.
Yeah. So the guy screams some bullshit about Allah and stuff like that and.
Yeah.
Which I did like that Ben Judah's like interpreting for him. It's like,
right, I know what Allah is.
They're on the ground. And he's like, he just said this shit. Fuck. he gets within 5 feet of them and is spraying an automatic weapon. And like the wind is like, dumbass, we can't die. Whoever harms us gets fucked. And the other one, as guy number one is preaching, guy number two fucking blast him with his mouth fire.
Just open, and, unhinges his jaw and fire comes out. Belches fire.
Yeah, burns away clothes, skin, meat, muscle. Just a fucking pile of bones.
Yep.
Crispy bones with melted gold on him.
Very sick. The Israeli soldiers come in at this point and kind of start to clear everyone out.
Like, hey, buddy, fucking chill.
This is not safe. You gotta leave.
The preacher's like, hey, if anyone comes with us with peace, we won't harm them. It's like, wow, you're really saying that for our two main characters here. I like it. I like it.
And actually, like, before they all leave, basically, Ben Judah is like, hey, we want to meet you at 10 p.m.
Right, because the soldiers are, like, yelling at them.
Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, okay. Which makes sense.
Yeah, because they're basically...
A murder just happened.
Yeah, they basically say it seems like the Israeli soldiers kind of, quote-unquote, keep the peace, right? Where they don't do shit about the guys shooting fire, but they don't get in the way. But when things like this happen, they do gotta step forward.
Yeah, like, because it's gonna be pandemonium.
Yeah, like, hey guys, I'll see you later. Bye.
Now, we have a quick... Rayford section where Chloe calls him all stressed out.
Jesus.
Because she saw on the fucking news Buck specifically laying on the ground and is like, do you know what hospital Buck is in?
Yeah.
And he's like, what are this you talking
is,
about?
This is too close to hysterical Chloe for this
it
to
is.
Feel good.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I mean, it makes you think, some amount of sense.
You think of all people, you think Buck, you think he got by that?
Chloe,
come
you
on.
Think Buck, the main character of this book, is going to get hurt?
He's not.
Get out of here.
He's not in a fucking hospital. No, come on. You, oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah. He's like, Ray's like, I guess I'll check.
I'll do my best. So, Buck and Ben Judah had a little combo, and it's like, oh, we're actually both students of the scriptures.
Right. It's like, hey, I'm just a recent one.
Yeah. Boink. Because Ben Judah assumes at first, like, he's kind of, like, not super down to help Buck, because he's like, you're just trying to get a scoop.
You're just a friggin' journalist trying to get a scoop, and then Buck's like, I'm both.
I do want a scoop, but also,
scope,
I'm
but
a Christian.
I'm a Christian now.
Ben Judah says a thing here that I also thought was worth bringing up. My people have longed for and prayed for and watched and waited for our Messiah for centuries. But much of Judaism, even in the Holy Land, has become secular and less biblically oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Secular Judaism.
Oh, we hate that, don't we, folks?
Man, Christians hate secular stuff.
Yeah, it's like someone who breaks against the religion and chooses not to be a part of an Abrahamic religion, get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, this is where they talk about the whole, like, the evil Muslims put this cemetery here to keep Elijah from going to the temple.
I think this is why I thought it came up before, was because Ben Judah kind of breaks a little bit, and this is when he's like, and to show you how deep the animosity between the Muslim and the Jew, look at the cemetery the Muslims have built just inside the fence here. Meaning, like, traditionally, Elijah will lead the Jews to the temple in triumph.
And he can't walk through there.
Got your asses.
Yeah, but Ninja doesn't like that.
Yeah, and again, I don't know anything about this. My assumption is they probably did it on purpose. But
I mean, it might have been. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, it's definitely a talking point that they did it on purpose. But yes. I don't know how true that is.
That is beyond our expertise. If we
lived in a different world and we, you know, in America were more Muslim positive, we could see this as keeping away outsiders or something in a way that's like not bad. It's all how you spin things, right?
Yeah. So at this moment, Buck is fumbling with his camera because he wants to record what Ben Judah is saying, but he notices actually the camera's still on. Oh, what's that? It was recording the whole time that the terrorist attack happened?
I think it was just his recorder, not his camera.
No, it was the camera because there's video of it.
I didn't think they said video.
No, they did.
Did yours say MP3?
No.
Mine says MP3
recorder.
What the
recorder. Fuck yeah. Are you saying? No, it was tape recorder.
Tape, yeah.
But he talks about seeing it.
No.
Look at this. I got the attack on tape. He rewound the machine to where they heard gunfire screaming. Then the man fell and the weapon clattered. In his mind's eye.
In his mind's eye.
On the tape. Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
It's a tape.
But why did they say MP3?
Mine was an MP3.
Okay.
You'd be like, I could get so many songs. They have so many gigs.
Oh my god.
So they both
really
agree
funny.
That they're.
Okay, no,
recorders.
I misunderstood what was going on.
No, I thought it was like a camera too, but luckily early they said the word MP3. So there I go.
Well, so it's because I thought what was happening was that when they first saw it, it looked like fire, but then it was actually wind. But it's like, no, it just sounded like wind on the tape recorder.
Right, because it's like, here's a little bit of proof this is actually happening, but it just sounds like wind, but more importantly, it is in Hebrew.
It's in Hebrew. That's the important part. So there's obviously something supernatural happening where in the moment, people who are listening to them in real time hear them in their own languages, but everyone else, like on the news and whatever, hears them in Hebrew.
Yeah. And Ben Judah and them and Buck are still kind of shaken up. And I was looking at the bottom left of my Kindle where it says, 2 minutes left in chapter. I was like, God damn it.
Shit.
I want to know what happened so bad. And as Buck is saying, I believe your Messiah has already come. And then Ben Judah responds, I know you do, young man. I'll be interested to hear what the two preachers say when you tell them that.
Kind of sounds like Ben Judah also thinks that.
Mm-hmm. And that's why he's leading with it. Cause you know, he knows the two witnesses are God as hell.
Yeah. So we end the chapter with one final Raper section. Raper calls Chief Blake to be like, yo, is Buck dead? and we get another, I think at least a third time, confirming how much Carpathia hates the two witnesses. Because Steve says to Raper, the Secretary General believes those two should be arrested and tried for murder. He doesn't understand why the Israeli military seems so impotent. and then he does feel like, yeah, Carpathia wants to fucking snipe him.
It's like, it'd be so easy to clear it out for the day
just
and then
shoot
him with a gun, throw a grenade, or even a missile.
And then Rafer does a real, like, Republican dad moment where he's, like, spoken like a true pacifist about Carpathia.
Get his ass.
Shut the fuck up, Rafer.
Get his ass,
Shut
Rafer.
Up.
Hell yeah.
Shut up.
And that's the end of the chapter. Yep. I want to read more.
I know. I want to know what happens. What comes next?
Oh, my god.
Who's
going
to give birth to a crisp next?
I'm spooked. It's going to be so, like, it's only in a couple hours. They're going to go to the little dirt shack
and talk
to the two guys.
Do you think we're going to get Nikolai doing anything extra evil by the end of this book?
We have to.
I hope so. I want to see his eyes glow.
Yeah.
Like, do something. I don't know.
Yeah. He has to kill someone.
We see him drinking like a glowing beverage. It's like, oh, that's why he doesn't drink alcohol. He only drinks antifreeze.
My friggin' copy is probably gonna be like, he's drinking Adrenochrome.
That's what he's actually drinking.
Hey,
Adrenochrome.
Can you make my porns into FLAC MP4s?
What?
It's a little joke about file types. My book be mentioning file types.
MP3s. Wait, no, it doesn't.
Well, MP3.
Oh, player, MP3. Okay,
which
okay.
Which is
okay.
a file type.
I do. I continue to be just absolutely delighted every time we uncover one of these very small changes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've probably missed a million of them.
Oh, I'm sure we have. But it's so funny it's when so you're like, weird. When you're like, oh, there were VHS tapes or whatever, and you're like, oh, do you mean a satellite phone?
Yeah, I need to go back and look to see what they said. Was there. I think it just said TVs and satellite phones. Maybe something else.
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, maybe it was like computers or something. I don't know.
It's a little like game for me in there. I need to start paying attention to it more and be like, I should ask him if this thing is different.
Well, the fact that he just says, so it's possible my book said button up denim shirt, but yours didn't say button
up. No, it didn't. It just says denim shirt.
And I do remember for a fact it said button up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because they like the thought of them like going back through and being like, "No, this is too dorky."
But like, what they keep is so telling.
Exactly,
too.
It's hilarious.
So well,
this is why I just think that these books are fascinating, just to get into the mind of these people who wrote it. Like, what's going on in there?
And when I googled it to try to figure out why it's a 777 versus 757,
Tim is haunted by
it. Wasn't like that big of a deal. Where apparently there's a ton of fucking changes, so I definitely want to see a what did they change for the boring covered versions of the Leprechaun books.
Yeah.
So wow. Well, I know we've been saying it, but we're in it.
Yeah, man.
Like,
no.
We continue to get deeper into it.
I hope that now that we've gotten past the whole Chloe and Buck boring shit.
We'll never have to do that again.
I mean, we're going to have to do something with Amanda and Rayford, I guess. But maybe they'll be less annoying about it.
Well, yeah, they might have to sell us about it. So it's like, she's a real handsome woman who knew her place.
Oh my God, they're going to like say she has salt and pepper hair. I think she does have salt and pepper hair. Because I remember something about that. Or I could be misremembering. Who knows? Because Irene had gray hair too, right?
I don't remember.
Or did I just make that up? I don't know.
It's interesting to me how little I remember of these books. When I thought
is that
I
their
knew.
Power that they just like leave? They're just like a sieve in your brain. You just like they just leave your brain.
Yeah, I mean, like I've said before, I mean, even somewhat vaguely religious family members were like, "Oh, weird. That's crazy that happens in this book." Because I'm probably just more focused on the cool shit, like the meteors and the scorpion
men. Right. So you're not absorbing
like
the other pieces of it.
Yeah, because it gets so fucking crazy. So, like, what do I care about all this, like, boring shit? I'm just falling asleep in the back of a Dodge Caravan going to visit my sister. It's that simple.
I don't even really remember exactly how old I was, because I don't remember when, like, they became. I mean, I know when the books came out, but I can't remember when I was reading them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they became really popular. I mean, I was definitely, I want to say I was in the, like, 12-year-old range.
Yeah, it must have been around 1999. The year 2000 for me. Because,
I mean, that would be exactly 12 to 13. That feels correct.
We were visiting my, like I said, sister. So we would put them in, so basically 99, 98-ish.
Right around the millennium.
Yeah, even though I was quoted as saying Y2K and the 9/11 made them more popular when I had, like, consumed almost all of them before that happened.
Oh, my God.
So. it's funny how memory works, gang.
Yep.
Don't trust your own memory.
Don't trust yours or anyone.
So right? True. Thank you so much for listening. We have a fun Patreon that you can subscribe to. If you wanted to hear our previous episodes weeks early, you go to patreon.com/contenthole. You won't hear this one early. You might hit. No. I think it's going to be late for both people. So I'm not I'm still going to try to post it tomorrow. But
yeah, but it's not going to be early.
Right. If I was a good boy, I'd edit it today, but I don't want to.
Listen, it's hard out there. It's hot. Right. Come on.
We also do all sorts of other things on there. People chatting. It's a good place to get recs on games. People are like, hey, what are you playing on your Steam Deck? Anything good in the Steam Summer Sale? Things of that nature. Check it out. Patreon.com/contenthole. Feel free to sub for a month, consume everything, and then do what you will.
Do what you need to do, man. Listen.
Yeah.
If you've got the cash to support us, we appreciate it. But if you don't, that's okay.
Yep. And our downspout of our backyard gutter fell again. So
I forgot about that.
I tried to fix it and it didn't work. So it means I might need to step it up a little bit. So. Every dollar helps.
Yeah.
You know, every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you have any money to just go to patreon.com.
Put it in the offering plate.
Yeah, put it in the offering plate. Put just $6.66.
Yeah.
And maybe some tax. I don't really know how any of that shit works. We really appreciate it. I am a full-time content creator, but no, I'm only able to do that because Jennifer has a real job. So we're not full. We're not two full timers.
Yeah, but then it also is the thing that kind of. I mean, I guess I'm probably never going to be not working my normal job. But is when I have to do real work at my normal job, it gives me less energy to do these things. True. So all that to say is, when you give to the Patreon, it does make me be like, damn, I guess I actually need to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. So it helps me motivate myself to create things.
And as we said, the extra money helps sometimes too. Of like, oh, we can order food instead of. Cooking, meaning more energy to
exactly.
do things.
Exactly.
But really, just give if you like it. Whatever. Yeah. You don't need to hear the sob story. But again, we are a religious-themed podcast, so we got to do the sell. We have to.
We have to do it.
Look to your left. Look to your right. We're passing around the offering
plate. Passing that plate around.
You don't want to be – it's going to be awkward if you just don't put something in the envelope.
Okay,
you know?
And like also, we're not even like asking for 10% like the church does. Yeah. So like honestly, this is a deal.
Yeah. I would accept it. Whatever you make, I would totally accept 10% of whatever you make.
Absolutely.
But if it causes you any hardship, don't worry about
it. Don't do it.
You know, it is what it is.
We love you.
We love you. Follow us on Twitter at TribFarcePod. Same with the Instagram, which we never post to. You can shoot us emails at tribulationfarce@gmail.com. As always, thank you for the emails. They're really fun to read. You can follow me on Twitter right now at Tim Lanning, but I also have a blue sky and Instagram and things like that. But I have a link tree, linktr.ee/Tim Lanning. I assume if you Google Linktree Tim Lanning, that'll give you all your links, but also my Twitter has it there.
Yeah. I'm also on Twitter and Blue Sky now. Same name, Jennifer Cheek.
Hell yeah.
On both of them. You know.
All right. Like a thief of the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.